Welcome to a new episode of Policy Implications Podcast, where policy meets research. I'm your host, Olga Zadrozhna from Kozminsky University, where I teach and do research in empirical economics. My guest today is Peter Andrei, who's a PhD student at the University of Bonn. Peter's main research field is behavioral economics, and he mainly studies individuals' perceptions, beliefs, and fairness ideals. Today, we'll be discussing his recent paper called Shallow Meritocracy. To introduce you to what this paper studies, I'll quote Peter's tweet in which he explains the main idea of the paper. So here it goes. We don't want to judge others by their quote-unquote circumstances, like parents, gender, race. But do we hold them responsible for their quote-unquote choices, even when these choices are strongly shaped by circumstances? Yes, we do. 100%, my new working paper suggests. Intriguing, right? So welcome, Peter. I'm very happy to have you on the podcast and be discussing this research with you. But before we start our discussion of the paper, please tell us more about your research and how did you become interested in this topic?
Yeah, hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here and talk about this paper. So yeah, my motivation to do research, I thought about it. It's a great question, and you often forget your initial motivation if you're doing something for quite a while. So I think what really motivates me is that I want to understand the world around me. I love to debate with people, with friends, with strangers, with family, also about political issues, but I often don't understand why they arrive at so different conclusions and why they hold different opinions. And I tolerate that, I accept that, but I find it super intriguing that there's such a large heterogeneity of views. And I think that's why I want to understand how others perceive reality, both in social, political, and economic terms. So that's one strand of my research. And then I'm also interested in the fairness views of people, in their views about the kind of world we should be living in according to their views. And so I also do research on that. And the paper we discussed today, Shallow Meritocracy, is actually an example of that. And what kind of world do we want to live? What fairness views do we have? And these things matter a lot. They matter a lot for our own private behavior, both in terms of how we treat others, but also in terms of the economic decisions we make, and they matter for the policies we support and vote for, and hence they are super influential on a societal level.
Exactly, but what is meritocracy and why this notion may be flawed by external circumstances?
So meritocracy, I think, is a very influential idea that is shaping the way we live together. It's shaping the welfare states we design and desire. It's shaping the political debate, certainly in Germany, also in the US, UK, and many other Western countries. The basic idea is that rewards, societal rewards, this can be income, but it can also be things like prestige, reputation, wealth. These rewards should be distributed according to merit. That's why the thing is called meritocracy. Merit is the key criterion for reward. And in practice, this often means, now the question is, what do we consider as meritorious? What does merit actually mean? And often ability, achievements are important. But then one thing that's super important that I want to focus on, or that I focus on in the paper, is hard work and effort. People think that working hard makes you deserving, that you deserve better if you work harder. And so the idea is that merit strongly depends on hard work, on effort, on the choices we make, whether we exert a lot of effort in life or not. And people that work harder, they deserve better outcomes. That's one key idea of meritocracy. On the other hand, meritocracy also takes a stance on what's not supposed to matter. And circumstances, things we do not have control over, things that are exogenous to us, things for which we do not have responsibility, like our family background, whether our parents are rich or poor, our gender, our skin color, race, these are things we cannot control. And these circumstances are not supposed to matter in a meritocracy, because nobody is more meritorious simply because he has a specific gender or skin color. So that's a very influential distinction for the idea of meritocracy. But then in the end, there's one problem here. And the problem is very fundamental. The problem is that we in our life, we always react to the environment we are in. Our choices are, economists call it endogenous, and they are shaped, they are influenced by the environment we are in. People make very different choices in advantageous environments compared to disadvantageous environment. Race matters a lot for the people, for the choices that people make, gender as well. So if choices, and we're talking about the decision to work hard, we're talking about occupational choices, career decisions, labor market decisions, schooling decisions, all these choices are shaped by circumstances. And then the question arises, do we want to hold others responsible for these choices or don't we? And that's a fundamental question to the idea of meritocracy. I also have one example, I think, that helps describing the idea in very concrete terms. So that's also an example that I actually use in the study. So this is a story. It's a story about two employees that compete for a promotion. And one employee is white, and the other employee is a person of color. This takes place in the US, so you know, race is an issue there. And in fact, the boss is notorious for being racist, and he has never promoted a person of color before. So the white employee knows that if he works hard, he has very good chances to be promoted. Whereas the person of color thinks if he works hard, he will still not be promoted. And then the white employee decides to work hard, and the person of color decides not to work hard. And the white employee is promoted in that story, whereas the person of color is not. And the question is, do we consider this as fair? I mean, on the one hand, the white employee has been working harder, so we might argue that he deserves being promoted, but then their choices to work hard or not, they are shaped by an environment that we certainly describe as unfair. And so it's difficult. And that's precisely the question that I want to ask. I mean, there's a normative dimension to it, but I focus on the positive dimension. I want to know how people out there, specifically in the US, would respond to these kind of stories, whether they consider the outcome as fair or not, whether they hold others responsible for their choices, even if these choices are strongly shaped by circumstances for which we do not want to hold people responsible. So that's kind of the idea.
Yes, and this idea is so important on so many levels. So great that you study that. And so what did we know about meritocracy and fairness before your paper? What does the economic literature say about these concepts?
So I think there are two, let's keep it short here, but I think there are two main ideas that have been shown in multiple studies already. And the literature is great. It's intriguing. It's a lot of fun. And I think it's one great example of how applied and how interdisciplinary economics can be, and how interesting. I mean, at least if you ask me, I mean, it's a very fascinating societal political question. So one thing we already know is that the idea of meritocracy is hugely attractive to people. People like to reward others for hard work, whereas they don't want to reward others for lucky circumstances, for things that were outside the control of individuals. So somebody has bad luck, another person has good luck. People are willing to compensate these guys and kind of equalize payments between them. But if one guy has a higher outcome because he worked harder than another guy, then that is typically considered as fair. And because this distinction matters so much, I mean, that's in a way the starting point for my paper, for my research. Because distinction matters so much, there's a second main finding in the literature, namely that beliefs about whether or not inequalities are due to luck or hard work, they shape a lot the kind of policies that people want to see. So some groups of the population that are convinced that it's all about luck, whether you're rich or poor, they dislike inequalities and they favor more equality. Whereas parts of the population that think it's not about luck, it's you have more if you work harder and that's how society works. These kind of groups, they prefer, they are actually okay with the inequality that we have and dislike equalization policies. So this was already known, but then this doesn't speak to the question of what happens if hard work itself basically reflects differences in circumstances to begin with, and that's what I zoom into in my project.
And so in your project, you have designed a series of online experiments to investigate meritocracy and find out how people reward choices. So what did you do in those experiments and what are their main findings?
Yeah, great question. And of course, that's I love to talk about it because that's for me the most exciting part of the project. So maybe first of all, why do we need an experiment? Why do we need like a very controlled and stylized behavioral experiment? The thing is that reality is super complex and it's very hard to tease apart these different fairness ideas and motives in the real world. So one advantage of having a highly controlled experimental setup is that we can actually tightly identify the effect of interest. And that's going to be the starting point in the paper. I have like I'll talk about that first, how I create a situation that allows me to exactly identify what we are after here, namely whether or not people take into account their choices are endogenous, are shaped by circumstances. But then you will also notice that this situation is abstract, it's stylized, it's not really what we're talking about when we think about society, policies, etc. So I also have another study with real world situations. One of them I already described, that's the situation of the two employees that compete for a promotion. And they are also search for similar patterns and I actually find the same results there. So that's this twofold approach to have both the advantages and disadvantages basically of this tightly controlled experimental setup and then a more real worldy second study. Okay, but let's zoom in now. So what's the experiment about? The idea is to hire workers, real workers, on an online labor market, and they make an effort choice. They decide how many tasks they complete. And they do this in a circumstance, that's their piece rate. So the amount of money they earn for each task that they complete. So obviously people react strongly to the piece rate they can earn. So they work way harder for a high piece rate, 50 cent in this case, than for a low piece rate of 10 cents. So their two workers, their effort choices are shaped by circumstances. And now the question is whether third parties, uninvolved third parties, let's call them spectators. We can also think about them as judges or evaluators. They observe the situation between the two workers. They basically know what happened to these workers, what kind of choices they make. And now they decide which worker is more meritorious, basically. They can redistribute money from between the two workers and thereby decide which rewards the workers deserve based on their choices and their circumstances. And the question is whether these spectators that make merit judgments, whether these spectators take into account that the workers' choices have been shaped by circumstances. And in order to really identify this, there's an experimental manipulation. And let me briefly describe that. That's key of the experiment, but it's also the most technical part, I think, of this podcast today. But let me briefly describe it. So there's a control treatment, a control condition in which a spectator, a judge is assigned to a pair of workers. One worker earns the high rate, the other works earns the low rate, but the workers don't know this yet. Both workers have identical expectations. They know that they could get a high rate. They know that they could get a low rate. One in the end gets the high rate, the other the low rate, but they don't know this yet, which means that they make their choices on a level playing field, given the same expectations, optimizing, so to say, against the same environment. And hence their choices are fully comparable in the control treatment. And they are fully revealing of how hardworking these guys actually are. In the treatment condition, a spectator is assigned to a pair of workers. Again, one gets the high rate, the other the low rate. But workers already know about this. So workers now, one worker is encouraged. He knows, 50 cent, that's great. I'm going to work a lot. The other worker is discouraged, 10 cent only. Oh, that's not really worth my time. I'm not going to work on that. And now choices are endogenous to the environment. And the question then is whether merit judgments of people of the US population, I work with a large sample broadly representing the US population, whether they make a difference between these two kinds of situations. And they don't. That's the main finding. They don't, and they don't do so at all. So I find no sign of treating these two workers in the two situations differently, which basically means that workers are held fully responsible for their choices, even if these are shaped by unequal circumstances. Yeah, and let me just follow up. So in the vignette study, then I'll do the same. I already told the story of two workers competing for a promotion. One is disadvantaged, discouraged by the fact that he's a person of color. He thinks he won't get the promotion anyway. But also in this situation, I see that the spectators, the US population in this case, holds the workers fully responsible for their choices. And the fact that one worker is promoted but the other is not, that's considered as fair. And the unequal outcomes in this situation, they are justified, they are legitimized by unequal choices, even though in the end these choices just reflect unequal circumstances. So, and I guess that's the reason why the paper is also called shallow meritocracy, because meritocracy claims or promises in a way, and that's I think why the idea is also super attractive, it promises that circumstances are not supposed to matter. But in the end, unequal circumstances always affect the choices that people make. And once this happened, the inequality that is created by unequal choices is considered as fair, accepted, and legitimate. Yeah.
Unfortunately. But this idea of meritocracy, is it the same throughout the world, or it's mainly the feature of Western societies? I'm thinking here about how your results can apply to other countries and other parts of the world outside Western.
Yes, so I think this is a very interesting and important question. And in general, this is just the question we are about to understand. There is research on that, not by me, but by great other economists, but it's still ongoing work. And they actually observe that the extent to which the idea of meritocracy is endorsed varies across countries. So there is cultural heterogeneity, but I cannot give like a conclusive answer today because I don't know the results of this study yet fully. Yeah. What about the finding of my paper that people neglect the fact that choices are often shaped by circumstances? Here, I personally have a more pessimistic view, although ultimately this is should be subject of future research. But in the study, I also find that the main reason why people neglect the fact that choices are endogenous is that what would have happened on a level playing field in a fair world, so to say, this counterfactual is unknown. Nobody knows what would have happened if the worker for the 10 cent rate actually had earned 50 cents. Nobody knows what would have happened if the employee who's discriminated against by this racist boss had a different boss who is not a racist. Nobody knows whether these guys would actually be working harder or not. It's not verifiable. The counterfactual is unsure and uncertain. And it seems that people prefer, if they have to make such a judgment, they base their judgments on what they know for sure. They want to base their judgments on verifiable information. And that's the observable choices that people actually made. And these are always the endogenous choices. So always the choices shaped by circumstances. So in law, people often, at least in Germany, we have this saying, I think in English, it's the benefit of the doubt. So if you cannot say for sure that someone is guilty, he cannot be punished. And here, this basically translates into a burden of the doubt, because disadvantaged people cannot verifiably show that their choices would have been quote unquote better if they had been advantaged as well by their circumstances. So nobody is willing to base judgments on that and to compensate them for the disadvantageous circumstances. And because this is the mechanism that I find in the paper, it's more of a cognition-based mechanism. I think this is likely to show up in other countries as well. But as I said, this is speculation now. The good thing about research is that we don't need to speculate. We can basically run the study in other countries as well and see whether this hypothesis holds up to the empirical test.
Yes, exactly. So there is a lot to be done then in other countries as well. But coming back to your paper, so what are the policy implications of your study, and how can we make sure that the policies and societal actions do not legitimize inequality?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. And it's also, I think, starting point for new research, but maybe on a more personal note, let me add what I conclude from this paper. So I think first of all, we talk a lot about meritocracy, and also in Germany. I mean, there's this idea, we call it Leistungsgerechtigkeit in German, the idea that it's just if people get what they merit, are rewarded according to their merit. And I think it's just important to document what this actually means, because in practice, it will mean that people are also rewarded and punished for choices they make, even if these choices are just reflect their circumstances. And being aware of that, even if we don't change that, being aware of that is already an important first step. And I think so that's one implication that I personally draw from this project. It kind of helps us to understand in what kind of society we live in, what meritocracy actually means in practice. But then there's also, like, if we want, I mean, we can just, that's open for discussion and people will have different views on that. But let's assume, and I would personally endorse this assumption, yeah? Let's assume we want to increase equal opportunities in society, then there are always two approaches, or that we want to reduce unequal circumstances, etc. Then there are two approaches. One is we can do so ex ante, so right at the beginning, abolish unequal circumstances directly before they have any effect. So kind of leveling the playing field. So this in particular means that things like good public education that helps disadvantages students to make up for the disadvantage of growing up in different circumstances, etc. These kind of policies are thought of ex ante pre-distribution policies. But then we can also intervene ex post. So after unequal circumstances have led to unequal choices, we can try to compensate those disadvantaged. For instance, affirmative action, so the idea to maybe make it easier for disadvantaged students to get to university, even with worse grades, that's an idea of this kind of ex post intervention. And I think what the study shows is that people dislike unequal circumstances, and they will favor ex ante policies that try to level the playing field. But once an unlevel playing field led to unequal choices, they are more hesitant to intervene, because now unequal choices justify the inequality that results from that. So ex post, it's way harder to convince others that there's a problem. It's a little bit of an inconsistency in fairness views, maybe. I mean, we can discuss whether this is really inconsistent or maybe just the right way to approach this. It's a difficult debate. So I think the argument that follows from that is that it's way easier to get political support for leveling the playing field ex ante rather than intervening ex post. And so I think if we want to promote this agenda, we should talk about these ex ante policies to a larger extent and recognize that ex post is more difficult to convince others, because unequal choices already laundered, legitimized the unequal circumstances ex post. Yeah. So that's, and that might be the reason why affirmative action is also so hugely controversial. Really trying to level the playing field ex ante is a way out, because then you abolish the problem. If the playing field is level to begin with, then this disadvantageous effect of circumstance on choices doesn't even arise. So that's one easy way out, but no, that's not what I wanted to say. it's a good way out, but it's not an easy way out because these policies are difficult to implement. And yeah, that's clearly a huge challenge.
Yes, it is a challenge. But let's hope with this episode we'll bring more awareness about shallow meritocracy, about ourselves, how fair or not we are, and about the way our societies reward merits. So thank you, Peter, for an interesting discussion.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.